everybody. Hello, beautiful people. Hi, healthy people. My name is Abby, and I have here with me
Ife.
As usual. I mean, am I supposed not to have you here?
Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, today we're going to talk about something very touching, something that unexpectedly can happen to any of us or around any of us, and we want to like prep you so you know what to do when that happens and you're called upon to like do something about it.
Yeah, you can totally practice this in front of a mirror. You can listen to this podcast every day so you get used to it. We're talking about first aid. We're talking about how to value your fellow human's life. I know it's not a Nigerian type of thing.
Yeah.
You usually like to do on your own, But, I mean, it's high time we change that.
Yeah. And we know that accidents do happen. Like, you know, only outside. Accidents can happen in your house. Of course, that's what they taught us in primary three. Accidents are other uncontrolled circumstances.
Unforeseen, I guess. Yeah,
that, you know, can happen at any time. You don't know.
Due to
unforeseen circumstances, again, I say.
I mean, you could be so curious that you want to, you know, do some certain things.
Why are you
things.
Looking at me like that? That means you're pointing to
I'm
me
not
now.
I'm pointing.
It's like, not bad to be curious. Oh,
okay.
My God.
Like, I saw on Twitter yesterday, somebody tweeted, "Oh, my teller just electrocuted me." And what was the reply? "It shocked you." You know? So,
yeah.
You could want to explore some certain things you're supposed to be exploring, and an accident happens. But I feel most of the time, a lot of people lose their loved ones because of improper knowledge or lack of knowledge of first aid or what to do, or mishandling the situation or panicking. And everything boils down to, you know, we need to understand that the value of life in this country, especially young people, is not just to watch it on TV shows, how somebody wants to commit suicide and everybody is putting all the effort, calling fire service and the rest. I mean, aside that fact, there are some accidents that shouldn't even lead to loss of life.
Yeah.
And we can even start to talk about the health sector and the hospitals and how nurses are and all that. We, within ourselves, we need to be able to manage the situation till peradventure they get there.
Yeah.
And Abby, recently, I mean, let me not give it away.
Finish what I have to say at the end. We'll just say, so that was our Bible reading for today. Okay. So, yeah, and we all know that, like, I won't lie, yesterday was the day I knew that 112 is the number for emergency.
She said it. She finally said it.
Seriously, there are people that don't know. So, if you don't know, Americans use 911 and we use 112, actually. Yeah. Now, so what we're going to talk about today is going to like help you, so that in case you find yourself in an accident scene, if it happens to you or anybody around you, and people need help or you need help, you will not be found wanting.
You
can actually apply some of the things as you're waiting for the ambulance to come or for someone to come and help you. You could just, you know, first aid is that immediate treatment you give yourself so that you don't die or something bad, or the injury doesn't get worse.
And I recommend that you listen to this podcast every day, this particular episode, or you go online and, you know, do your own research and broaden your view, because it can happen anytime.
And don't forget to like share it with your loved ones so that other people can know about it too.
Yeah, be aware, guys, and please, it requires to be bold. You need to like have 100% composure, you know, that zing mood. Just relax. This one is not relax and be taken care of. This is relax, be bold, be calculative. For me, I think from today, I'll be practicing in front of the mirror. When I'm doing my normal speech, I'll also be doing first aid reviews in my head. Because,
and you don't need to be a lawyer a nurse or a doctor to do all these things. Practically, I actually took this book from my mother's shelf. Oh, she's going to listen to this podcast, though. Okay, but the book we are going to use today is Where There Is No Doctor. So, what do you do? What you should do before the doctor comes? So, yeah, you don't need to be a doctor or a physician or whatever to do what I'm going to talk about today.
So, let's roll. What do you do when you lose consciousness?
Okay. No, not when you lose consciousness. When you're around someone that loses consciousness.
Oh, sorry.
You cannot lose consciousness.
Oh, my bad. Okay. When you're around someone that loses consciousness. Okay, I don't mean all those ones that tongue will be going, they're trying to open their mouth to put spoon. I mean, somebody literally faints.
Yeah, oh, the usual. Now, let's start from there. Quickly, there are like different causes of loss of consciousness and drunkenness, a hit on the head, being knocked out, like, you know, shock, poisoning, heat stroke, stroke, heart attack. There are plenty. Now, if a person is unconscious and you don't know why, now, these are the following things you need to check. Number one, is he breathing well?
How do you check that?
I think your pulse, like, there's this, you have to put two fingers on person's wrist, something like that, to check the pulse.
Good, Dr. Abby.
Yeah. So, is he breathing well? Mm-hmm. If not, you tilt his head way back and pull the jaw and tongue forward. You were trying to say that thing.
Was I?
Yeah.
The spoon thing?
Yeah. So, okay. This is kind of it. So, remember, number one, check if he's breathing. If he's not breathing, tilt his head back and pull the jaws and tongue forward.
Okay.
If something is stuck in his throat, pull it out. We are going to talk about it later. If it's not breathing, use mouth to mouth. We're also going to talk about it later.
I like the mouth to mouth one too. I'm just saying.
You're even saying, it's my mind. Oh, my mind.
Okay.
So yeah, pull the person's head. Remember, the first thing is check if he's breathing. And number two, if he's not breathing, tilt his head back and pull the jaw and tongue forward. Okay? Pull the jaw, yeah, and pull the tongue forward. Number two, losing? Yeah.
What if somebody's hand is not clean? I mean,
Look for a way and clean your hand. Oh, now that, like, you have to sanitize your hand. Just always be prepared. Yeah, sorry. Number two, is he losing a lot of blood? If so, try to control the bleeding. We're also going to talk about it. Number three, is he in shock?
How do you know he's in shock?
Now, he's going to have symptoms of moist, like, too much sweat,
mm-hmm.
and pale skin. He's going to be weak and rapid pulse, like the heart is beating
real
fast. Yeah.
What did you do? Did you...
Okay, no. So lay him with his head lower than his feet and loosen his clothing. That is if you notice that a person is in shock, state of shock.
Okay. Yeah,
like, it shock you.
It shock you. Kind of, okay. I understand now. It shock you.
And if it is a heat stroke,
mm-hmm.
shade the person from the sun.
Okay.
And then keep his head. Yeah.
So what is a heat stroke?
Heat stroke is like, okay, the person has, he's hot though, but the person is not sweating.
Okay.
But the person is hot. The person has high fever and like temperature is very hot. And then the person has like red skin. I think there's a diagram here. There's a diagram somewhere. I'm going to like look for it and talk about it. Okay, so if it is a heat stroke, you shed the person from the sun.
Okay.
And keep his head higher than his feet and soak him with ice water. That means they like ice water, if possible.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Now, that's what you do for an unconscious person. Check if he's breathing, open the jaw and pull the tongue forward, and check for loss, if the person is losing blood, or if you can give the person mouth to mouth.
So the mouth to mouth.
And then when you have to reposition in the person, you position the person leg up, head down. Alright, maybe just keep the person's leg raised a little bit than the person's head.
Right.
I think so that blood will flow to the head.
To the head, okay.
Yeah. I don't really know. Like, please guys, if you can
find
you can
out
help
more.
Us. Yeah.
Dr. Abby is in session.
Okay, so if there's any chance that the unconscious person is badly injured, it is best not to move him until he becomes conscious, because you may not really know where the pain or problem is. And if you have to move him, do so with like great care, all right? In case there are broken bones and every other
Does thing. This also work for drowning cases?
No, drowning cases is actually kind of different. Yeah, for drowning cases, if a person... Okay, now, you should know that... It's important to know that a person who has stopped breathing for only... Sorry, has only 4 minutes to live, generally. Well, you know, people have broken world records of holding their breath for more than 4 minutes. But, guy, please, don't go and try it. All right? Don't go and try it. So, number one, start mouth-to-mouth immediately.
Thank you.
So for someone that is drowning, start mouth-to-mouth at once. If possible, even before the drowning person is out of the water, that is, as soon as it is shallow enough to stand. Don't even wait for them to like bring out the person and come and keep at the bank. Start making the person first comes out of the water. Start them out to mouth, because you don't know how long the person has been in the water or if the person is breathing or not.
So mouth odor or no mouth odor?
Yeah, you're saving life. God can even cure the person's mouth odor because of you.
Oh my God. Okay, so okay, aside the mouth to mouth, how do chest compressions work? Because I see it in the movies where you just do 1, 2, and next thing water is coming like, blah,
I think, okay, what you have to do is lay the person on his back, all right? Sit over him, like, don't sit on his body. Oh God, the way you're looking at me, as if I'm saying sit on the person.
I'm curious.
Just sit over the person, okay? Then with the heel of your lower hand, let me see your lower hand. What? Is this place? Like,
which place? Like, I can't see it. This is the podcast.
Like, with the heel of your lower hand, this is your beneath your thumb.
Okay.
Yeah, this place that is like your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's your low. That's the heel of your lower hand.
Okay.
So yeah, with the heel of your lower hand on his belly, like put the heel of your lower hand on his belly. That is between his navel and his ribs.
Okay.
So it's going to be like somewhere here, in the middle, like between the person's navel and your ribs. You know where your navel is. I know where your ribs are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you use the heel. I think it's going to be like both of your hands placed on the person's stomach, okay? And make a quick upward push, repeat several times.
For kids, is this different? You know, like saving a child, do you like position your hand in such a way that you don't apply too much pressure so you don't...
Yeah, so you're not like injure the person or something, yeah.
So I think for kids, your chest compression should be like three fingers on both hands. You press on the kid's, what did you call it, space between the upper,
the space between the belly and his ribs, like your navel and the ribs. Then when you like push it that way, when you make a quick upward push, you press the belly, just press it, like keep pressing, but with your heel, the heel of your hand, keep pressing it, you know, just that place. So that it's going to like push all the water out. I think maybe as you're doing it or before you do it, you should give the mouth to mouth
to like apply air to the lungs. Okay.
So I think it's gonna work.
It's gonna work. I hope it does, doctor. Please. These are people's lives.
Yeah, for record, I mean, I study communication arts, so I'm just trying to just look at what I'm reading here.
Okay. You are literally reading to your audience. Okay. Okay, so moving on.
Now, what to do when breathing stops? Like, that one was drowning, and in that case, the person may not be dead, all right? But what to do when breathing stops is, okay, actually, you're just applying the same mouth-to-mouth to the person, actually. Yeah, that the same steps of the mouth-to-mouth, the same thing you're applying to the person.
So how do you control bleeding in cases of cuts and...
And wounds. Yeah, bleeding, before we talk about how to control bleeding, we should know that there are different types of bleeding. They are like large scale bleeding and small scale bleeding.
So do you measure with a bucket, like, okay, this one full bucket?
Your eyes. Scale. When your eyes see, you know what to measure. Let's start from there. Your eyes measure for yourself. Because you controlling a small scale bleeding is different from you controlling a large scale bleeding.
Okay, let's paint the scenario. In cases where there's like people were in a KK and peradventure accident occurred.
Mm-hmm.
One is on the other side of the road. Yeah. The other one is headed to Sokoto.
Mm-hmm.
They then has it. They are still flying. And the one on the other side of the road is bleeding from, let's say...
Small scale bleeding.
I don't know the scales. Let's say on their leg.
Yeah, this is the bleeding that you can stitch or something, small something.
Like you can see the bone. Is that small scale?
Technically, that's not smaller scale bleeding. But that's small scale. Yeah. I think we will have smaller scale, small scale, and large scale.
Wow. Scale thing, eh? Smaller. What do you do in that scenario?
Okay. Let's say one of the other person that was still flying.
Legend, you know, has it that the person has not gotten to Sokoto yet.
Hey God. Okay. Now, number one, if this person, okay, has like a small scale injury, not smaller scale, but small scale that actually you can actually, okay, you cannot see the bone, so it's like the bone is not coming or choking out.
Yeah, I mean, you just, so you can just see it inside.
You can see flesh, but it's bleeding.
Yeah, but it's bleeding.
You just, first of all, no, we should all note that in cases of emergency where there's an accident, you have to try to give the person air and room. So people should not be crowding that area. Because when people crowd itself, you won't even be able to focus on what you're doing. So yeah, after making sure that people are not like crowding the area, raise the injured part up. If it's like leg or hand, raise it up. Okay? Maybe so that the blood does not flow out.
Gravity will do its work.
Yeah, but just raise the injured part up, and then with the clean clothes, you know, all this thing about accidents, God needs to provide clothes to come out from.
I mean, we're all working with clothes in that way, so.
So yeah, with the clean clothes, maybe a handkerchief, you know, or a turban, or a big mask. You know, not everybody's wearing face mask or something. Who knows? Yeah, with the clean clothes, or your hand, if there's no cloth actually, you press directly on the wound.
I mean, the person is in a lot of pain. We are talking about someone that is ready to slap you, kick you.
Hey, you have to make sure they are holding the person. You have to make sure they're holding the person so they will not slap you, because it's Samaritan work you were going to
exactly,
go and do.
Exactly. Nobody said to person.
So yeah, you press the wound and you keep pressing until the bleeding stops. It might take 15 minutes. It might take an hour. It might even take very long. But actually, that kind of, you know, pressure is called direct pressure, and it actually stops bleeding in almost every normal small scale wound and smaller scale wounds. Yeah, it actually stops bleeding, at least for the main time, or it will like reduce, even up, you know. So the person, normally we have to have, I think is it vitamin K that stops bleeding?
I honestly,
yeah, you don't even know, okay?
I mean,
naturally, in vitamin K, I think vitamin K, sorry, I stand corrected, stops blood, like, does, helps in blood clotting. So that also helps to heal your wound faster and reduce bleeding, okay? But people that have that deficiency, they will not really, like, clot blood fast or stop bleeding fast, especially people with, like, diabetes.
Ouch.
Yeah. Don't really heal from wounds fast. Okay. Now, if someone's there, for example, that this person now has a large scale, that is, the person's has been like cut off, person's part of the body had been cut off during that accident or something, what the first thing for you to do is to try to apply pressure there, so that at least the bleeding will reduce. If not, before you know, blood has finished your person's body, so you just have to like apply pressure there to like stop the bleeding.
So how do you apply the pressure?
By using that cloth, I said, or your hand, depending on the size of this thing, clothes will come
above the wound,
open wound. But I'm going to go to the second one now. If the bleeding cannot be controlled by pressing on the wound, because maybe the person is so in pain and the person cannot like hold still for you to press on the wound, and if the person is losing a lot of blood, that means the person is almost dying. So what you need to do is keep pressing on the wound. Keep pressing there. But keep the wounded part as, continue raising the wounded part high. As you're pressing, continue raising it high. And then you tie, if it's an arm or the leg, you tie as close to the wound as possible. That is under it.
Okay.
Tie under the wound as close to the wound as possible. Tighten enough to control the bleeding. It's going to stop blood flowing out. Okay. Yeah, you're going to tie it there, and then use a folded cloth or a belt or anything, a string, a rope. It's going to stop the bleeding.
So how do we try to, okay, now we're talking about the physical state of this person.
Yeah.
I mean, this is someone that just lost it. Like, how do you reassure that person that it's going to be okay? Don't worry, relax.
I think that's what our nurses and doctors fail to do. Like, they will see someone rushing an injured person to the land, they're like, oh God, better shift them there. Put them there. No. I think it's mandatory. It's nice if you kind of like reassure the person. Okay, let me slip in a little bit of my story. When I went for my breast surgery, I had a lump removed from my breast, like almost a cancerous lump actually. So when I went for the breast surgery, I was nervous and scared because that was going to be like my first surgery, and I was just worried, will everything go out well and everything. But one thing that kept me going was the doctor was always telling me I was going to be fine. He was assuring me nothing is wrong. He just wants to remove what was bad, stitch me up, and I'll be gone in no time. So I think that actually gave me the strength to say, oh, okay, I'm going to stay. Okay. And then he kept gisting with me throughout the whole procedure. So I didn't feel alone. And he would tell me, okay, this is... He knew I couldn't understand. But he would be telling me, okay, this is the part of your skin. This is called a... endometrium or whatever, I don't even know, but I'm just trying to say that he kept me occupied and he kept on encouraging me that I was going to be fine. So I think doing that to an injured person, even if a person is dying, try your best and tell the person, no, you're not dying, I'm helping you.
So in other words, also keep the bad belief people
away from the person.
Like
exactly.
People that say, yeah, my
this
God,
will be bad,
Jesus.
No, keep the person
just
away.
Keep those ones away. Okay, so in cases of animal bites where, you know, for people that went to body houses and the rest.
Okay, sorry, I want to slip in something. Now, this tying of the wound place, you don't tie it except the wound did not stop bleeding. You only tie it when it did not stop bleeding. And then losing it from time to time to check. Don't just tie it to also cause problem. So as you're tightening it very strong, losing it from time to time, maybe in 15 minutes to check if it has stopped bleeding.
Maybe.
Actually, they wrote here you should... losing the tie for a moment.
Okay.
Every half an hour to check.
Okay, doctor. So in case of animal bites and maybe you were playing football and you got dislocated arms or your bones shifted out of joints.
Yeah.
And this one is like I'm throwing shade to especially boys out there
that play football. Yeah.
They're very adventurous. So how do we deal with that?
Yeah. Now, it's important to note that wounds, like animal bites, bullet wounds, large wounds, all those stuff are like likely to become dangerously infected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for this kind of high-risk blood, you have to wash the wound very well with boiled water and soap. Now, this one mostly can happen. Let me say you have dogs. You have a dog and then someone comes into your compound and the dog bites the person.
Okay.
Don't forget to always give the dog anti-rabies. Yeah, is that anti-rabies they call it or rabies?
I don't know. I think it's anti-rabies. Yeah. Because I mean, the dog has rabies. So
yeah, this is anti-rabies. Yeah, something like that.
I go to school now.
So yeah, so that it's not infect the person. But initially, immediately that happens, wash the wound well with boiled water and soap. Remove all pieces of dirt and just clean the whole place up. Then if the wound is very deep, if it's the bite or if there is a chance that it still has dirt in it, use antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably penicillin. If you don't have penicillin, use ampicillin or erythromycin, tetracycline. Those are all...
cyclines that you can just go to the doctor or pharmacist and just say, want a cycline. Somebody just got
and they're all antibiotics.
Bitten.
I think the... those edges are at the back of the book. I will not really like have time to go and know the dosage, but I think you just use like a little bit. Are you hungry? I need to know now. Don't disturb me again. I'm incestual. Okay. So yeah. Now never use like when you're done with applying the how do they call it? The audit.
Cyclines.
Okay. And then you don't close this type of wound with stitches. Just leave the wound open. And then immediately do what? Take the wound to a health place or a hospital or
something.
And
this is mostly for dogs, right?
Yeah, mostly for dogs, but yeah.
So how about snakes?
Because the danger of tetanus is very great.
Greater than snake?
In any bite, all those bites like that, tetanus, like danger of tetanus, is very great. So that's why I have to keep the wound clean and treat it with antibiotics before rushing the person to the hospital. That's like a very big, how do you call it?
Point.
First aid treatment. Yeah.
Okay.
Then as for bullets, knife, and other serious wounds, they also have danger to infection. So all you have to do is to just do the same thing you did for the other one, clean it and then apply antibiotics and rush the person straight up.
Don't attempt to remove the bullet or the knife.
No, do not. I don't think.
But I mean, movies, they remove it.
I don't think, just at least, I think you should just clean. No. Yeah, you just wash the wound and soap and apply this thing, clean bandages. For bullet wounds, preferably, specifically, if the wound is bleeding a lot, control the bleeding. Like we had said the other time, applying cloth on it and making sure that, you know, the wound, the bleeding stops. If the bleeding is not serious, let the wound bleed for a while. This will help to clean it out. Okay, that's for bullet wounds. And then wash the wound with boiled water and soap and apply clean bandage. But even in the case of gunshots, wash the surface only, like the outside only. Yeah, don't poke anything inside the hole or do anything inside the bullet.
I think that part is for you mostly. Curious cat.
Okay, why are you attacking
me? I'm just saying.
Okay, and then of course, give antibiotics. All the cyclins and rifampicin I had mentioned. Yeah, you can just choose one to give. Okay, in the case of bone fracture, if there's any possibility that a bullet has hit the bone and the bone may be broken, don't allow the person, if it's like on the leg, don't allow the person to like stand on the leg, but keep the person to lie down and then use like wood to like support each stretch, like stretching the person's leg, and then use two woods, arrange it like horizontally mm-hmm. on the person's leg and tie from both ends. Yeah, that will at least keep the person in check, control the bleeding, apply antibiotics, and do what? Rush the person to a hospital.
So in cases, okay, so basically saying how to move a badly injured person is what you're saying now.
Yeah.
So you don't like make sure the person's leg is upright in cases of cuts and wounds, yeah, where there's like an open large scale wound.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one for the bullets, you make sure the person doesn't stand. That's if the bullets pierced the person's leg and broke your bone.
Try to arrange the person's leg. Even if his hand, like keep boot and just try to like tie both ends so that the person's broken place will be stuck in between there, and then you rush the person to the hospital. And also during snake bites, I think you just need to like try to okay, the first thing is just stay quiet, do not move the bitten part. I would have been scared. So let's say the bite was on the foot and the person should not walk, immediately send for medical help. But actually you wrap the bitten area with a wide elastic bandage or clean cloth to slow the spread of the poison. And keep it very still, and then put the leg on a splint to prevent from moving. Like that stuff I had told you, that splint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put it there to prevent the person from moving, and then take the person as soon as possible to the hospital to go and treat the snake bite.
So what if this person is like alone?
Hey, that person, yeah, to like tie the leg.
The person is alone, so we'll still tell the person.
They should listen to this podcast. Okay, guys. So, there are so many things you could do, like how to treat dislocated arms and how to move badly injured person. There are so many things we could actually talk about, but time is not on our side. I think we're going to do like
a carousel. Probably post some on our Instagram pages.
Yeah, just so that you know. So, we're just doing a rundown. And if you know other ways and other methods, like how to do all these things and that we've not mentioned, please, we are open for new ideas. Remember, we are not like doctors or anything, we're just like reading from where we saw. All right, so thank you so much for listening to us today. You were basically listening to only me, not him, but thank you. We appreciate you, we love you, and we're going to see you on Friday. Don't forget to comment and drop down all the things you just want, just gisting with us. Okay, love you.